Today's daf in Maseret Brachot, brought to you from Yerushalayim Ir HaKodesh, is daf mem. So, we were talking up until now about the various inyanim of the brachas, the Seder HaBrachas, which ones you can say on one and not on the other, and now we get to the inyan of Hefsek HaBracha. Omar Rav, if somebody says, Tol Baruch, in a circle of Baruch, he makes HaMotzi, but before he puts the Motzi into his mouth, he hands a piece to the guy next to him, and he says, here, take a piece of the blessed challah. He does not need to make another bracha, even though he was mafsik. But if he would say, hey, bring some salt, or bring some peanut butter, Tzorech Levarech. Whereas Rabbi Yochanan says, even if he said that, Afilo Avil Melech, Avil Liftan, to dip the bread into, Nami ain't Tzorech Levarech, because that's considered to be part of the Tzorech HaBrocha, that the thing that you're eating should be eaten with a lot of gusto and fun. So if you've got salt, you've got some kind of dip, that is also a Tzorech HaBrocha, and you can say, bring it. All of this is not Lechatchila, by the way. It's never a good idea to interrupt. But we do paskin that if you did, it's not considered to be an interruption. Rip Sheshes Omar? Masha Enkein, if he would have said rather, Gavila Ture, get the food ready for the shore out there in the barn, then he would have to be Mavorach, because what does that have to do with the Bracha? Whereas Rip Sheshes says, no, even that has to do with the Bracha, because it Gibel Ture, he wouldn't have to be Mavorach, because Rabbi Yehuda Amarav said that you wouldn't be allowed to eat if you didn't first feed your animal. Shinemar, beautiful diak, v'natati esev besot chalev emtecha, first it goes to your animal, and then v'yachalta v'savata. Isn't that beautiful? So if that's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu does, that's what you should be doing too. Omar Rav Bar Shmuel Mishum Rabbi Chiya, in abotzei arishai liftzoa ad sheyaviyu melech o liftan lifnei kol echad v'yachad. In order to avoid this kind of situation of a break, first make sure that there's a little dipping bit of salt or a little dipping bit of garlic oil, whatever it is that you're using. But every one of the people at the Seudah should have that. And that way, everybody is able to immediately be nene from the bracha that you make for them by eating the bread. Rav Bar Shmuel once came to the Reish Galuta's house, Afikale Rivta, and they brought him out bread, and he did not do what he himself just said, to make sure that there's salt or a dip. And he just went right ahead, made the bracha, cut the challah, batzalade. Omer le, so they said to him, whoa, hadrumar mishmaite? Did you have charata? Omer lo, are you kidding? This stuff is so beautiful, this bread. Ein dein tzorech bashash. This does not require any type of hesitation. Remember, bashash ki boshesh moshe loredet min ahar, or boshesh richbo by Sisra. So bashash would mean there's no hesitation in eating such fine bread that it doesn't need any additional salt. Now, Lamaisa, that's really true, interestingly enough. And nonetheless, our minhag is to constantly put some salt, even if it's a very clean bread, and to have salt on the table, as Tosus mentions over here. There's a number of reasons for this. Tosus tainas that when he brings a beautiful medrash, that when Klal Yisrael are sitting around the table and they have to keep their mouth shut because they just washed and are waiting for somebody to make a bracha, so they're not able to be Isaac and Torah. So because of that, the satan is immediately mekatrik. What are these guys doing sitting around the table? So because of that, if you have melach brit on the table, that melach is megin. But others say that's dumb. Look, I mean, your achila is supposed to be demel carbon, and every carbon is supposed to bring melach. So you can't say late dan tzarek bashash. So then the minhag is to always have salt that's available, even though mikra din for the bracha, it isn't really necessary. Once we're on Rav Bar Shmuel, various psukim that he brought, so we also mention another thing that he mentioned from Rabbi Chiya, which is, and remember that all of these inyanim that we bring that have to do with the healthiness of food, or the healthiness even of defecation or urination, which you'll notice we bring often over here. Remember that these are all inyanim that are directly related to very fundamental aspects of emuna, because this is Adam Arishon's involvement in Maaseh Bereishis from the very beginning. It may seem funny to Western ears, but remember that, as the Zohar puts it, the first urination of Adam Arishon was one of the greatest tikkunim in the history of the world, because what it is that Adam does is that he discriminates. And the development of his mind in terms of the ability to discriminate is linked very much because of that to kidneys. That's why we always talk about one's kidneys in terms of choices and so on, because that's what kidneys do. They differentiate. And yes, this is particularly nogea one person today who is smiling broadly. And so because of that, the tikkun hagadol of urination is related deeply to emuna and putting food into your mouth. The mashkin into your mouth has everything to do with taking that food out of your body as well. So we often find throughout our sugyas of emuna, these type of inyoni. So one of the other things that Rav Bar Shmuel mentioned from Reb Chiya is that you will never urinate properly unless you're sitting down. Now, this, of course, has nothing to do with actually emptying your bladder. It's better to be standing, really. But the point over here was that in those days, remember, they didn't have any protection on their legs like pants. They were wearing skirts. So if one would urinate, the closer he gets to the end of emptying his bladder, the less power there is in his stream of urine, and the closer the urine will drop towards his feet. And because of that, he'll start splattering his feet with urine. And therefore, he will, without even thinking about it, not really be all that relaxed about letting go of his bladder, and the urine will not empty out, if he's sitting down, so he doesn't have that problem. So it's a question of voluntary interaction over here with the bladder. Masha Einkein says, Rav Kahane, if you've got ofer tichoach, which is very absorptive, and it doesn't allow any splattering, so then, of course, afilu ba'amida. As a matter of fact, if you don't have anything like that to urinate into, you could always be yamod b'mokom gavoa v'yashtin l'mokom midron. If the person is standing at the edge of a roof, or whatever, or a place where the ground is at an angle, so then also he doesn't have to worry that it's going to land next to him. A general rule would be, no matter what it is that you ate, even if there was salt in what you ate, always good to close the eating with a little bit of salt. And anything that you drank, even though it was mixed with water and so on, you had apple juice, whatever, always drink some pure water afterwards. And that way, yata nizok, you're not going to have any health problems from what you ate. Tanya nami hachi, acho kolachi latracho melach, acho koshti atrashte maim, viata nizok. Tanya idach, anything that you ate, achalko ma'achal, and then you forgot to take a little bit of salt afterwards, or anything that you drank, you didn't drink pure water afterwards, if this happened during the day, you can have to worry a little bit about how and therefore make sure you brush your teeth. At night, you got to worry about diphtheria because it's going to affect your digestion. Somebody who drinks enough with their food and floats their food, so to speak, making sure that they don't get dehydrated, that kind of person will not have problems with his digestion. What do we mean? How much is enough? One ketone per pot. Now, that doesn't help us very much because we don't know what a standard ketone is. We don't know what a standard pot is in their days. Somebody eats lentils once every 30 days. Also, it's going to help his digestion, but don't eat them every day. Again, you'll have problems with bad breath. If you eat mustard seeds once every 30 days, also it's very healthy, but don't eat them every day. Why? It gives you a weakness of the heart. Now, chul shedaliba in Yiddish, schalisht minaf in hartzen, now you'll recognize those words. It may be a leftover from what the chul shedaliba meant at the time of the Gemara, which was a sense of shortness of breath. If you eat a lot of sardines, you're not going to have trouble with your stomach. I don't really mean sardines because the way that they're packed and so on is not particularly wonderful. You won't have heart pains or angina if you eat ketzach. Now, ketzach has just really come onto the market recently. They started marketing a lot of, it's very interesting, it's just over the past 5 years or so, a lot of kind of pretzel kind of foods with ketzach on it, and different crackers with ketzach has become very popular. Ketzach is quite pungent, as we're going to see. Most understand ketzach to be a type of dark or black cumin, and it's actually quite yummy. And the problem is that Reb Shimon Gamliel says Ketzach is one of the top 60 deadly poisons. So it doesn't sound like it's the kind of thing you should be eating too much of. Yashen the Mizrach Garno, so he's got a pile of Ketzach, and he sleeps to the east when the wind in our area comes from the west, mostly off of the sea. Then he is responsible for his own murder. Damo Barosho. So why are we recommending eating poison? Lokasha Barecho Habitamo. The smell, inhaling it, is poisonous, but eating it, the taste is fine. And as a matter of fact, Rabbi Yirmiyah's mommy used to bake him bread with ketzach on it, and then she would peel the ketzach off, so it would absorb the taste of the ketzach, but her son would never inhale it. Rabbi Yudomer, you're supposed to say on each thing something that is unique. So when it comes to green veggies, you say borei mine deshaim. If you're talking about tomatoes, then it's borei pri adama. Amar Rabbi Zeir v'tamer Rabbi Chanina bar Papa, we do not paskin like that. And Amar Rabbi Zeir v'tamer Rabbi Chanina bar Papa, what is the logic of Rabbi Yudah? The logic of Rabbi Yudah is very beautiful because it says in the Pasuk, Baruch Hashem Yom Yom. Now, what does that mean? Well, only Mevarech HaKadosh Baruch in the daytime and not in the nighttime. Ela lomar lecha kol yom v'yom tein lo me'ein birkotav. Every single day should have its unique bracha. If it's Shabbos, then the bracha that you make in Tefillah, or the bracha you make in Kiddush is Mekadosh Shabbos. If it's Yontav, it's Mekadosh Yisro v'Azmani. And you mention the Yontav in the bracha. So in other words, there's an inyan to be specific in your bracha. So by the way, we actually sing that song in the Chazoras HaShatz, the Seba Chazoras HaShatz, after the tefillah of Ma'ariv on Shabbos, right? So we always say, Me'ein HaBrachot. What's Me'ein HaBrachot? Is this Gemara? It's beautiful. So the Me'ein HaBrachot on the Yom is should also be Tanis Reb Yudah. The same thing on Hanami. Kol min v'min, every species deserves its own concentrated bracha. V'itema v'amer abizir v'itema Rebbe Chanina bar Papa b'orei sheloki midat HaKadosh Baruch Hu midat basar v'adam. There's also another thing that he said, which was, for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you know, it's the opposite. A human being, when he needs to hold something, he needs to have an empty space to hold it. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is exactly the opposite. The more the person's mind is full, the more it holds. And a mole is machzik. Somebody says Talmud Chacham can be machzik more and more chachman. An empty-headed person can't hold anything. So Rekan inum machzik shenemar vayomer im shamoa tishma. So if you already heard, then you're able to hear more. Ve'im lav lo tishma, davar acher, im shamoa tishma means, if you don't get tired and bored by reviewing what it is that you had learned before, and your shamoa be'yashan, you keep going over the things that you already know, then you will have lots of room to learn new things, tishma b'chadash. But if yifne levavcha, if you turn aside from your learning, like this is the Yamshik of the Pasuk really, to be mefane libcha, from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Shuv Lo Tishma. And now it's time for, Sir Richard, where is Sir Richard when you need him? It looks like Doc is going to have to act very quickly before it's too late. But where is Doc when you need him? Uh-oh. What's going on today, gentlemen? Sheesh. You know what it said before, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Shoel B'Shlomo. So now we're moving on to talk about, we came from one extreme to the other. One extreme was Rabbi Yehuda, where he says, be as absolutely specific as you can be. And we also learned that in terms of the kedima of the bracha, the more specific the bracha, the more it comes earlier. Now we're going to the other extreme. What if you made the wrong bracha? And you made a broader bracha. You said a shahakol for something that required a specific bracha. Or let's say you said a bar pri ha'adama on fruit, which ultimately do come from the adama, but it would have been more specific to say that they come from the eights. What would be the din? So the Mishnah tells us the broader bracha is always going to be inclusive. And bida avad, you will be yotzi. Mantana de ikar ilan arahi. Now this means that the Mishnah is saying that when you make the bracha on the earth, you're talking about the tree as well. And the earth is viewed as the source of everything, including the fruits of the tree. Omer Nachman Yitzchak, this is Rabbi Yehuda, who speaks about that issue when it comes to Bikurim. A guy who brings Bikurim has to bring the first peros, but he also then is Korei the Bikurim. And he says to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he gives him thanks for Ha'adamash and Atatali, for the earth that was given to me. Now, what happens if, after this guy gets his Bikurim together, he had a field that required irrigation? Richie, now you come. I took your place. He had a field that required irrigation, and he did irrigate it. Everything was great, and the field had in it It had in it a water source. It was wonderful. He grew these pears. He comes to the Beis HaMikdash. By the time he gets to Beis HaMikdash, his field has been destroyed. The tree that had grown things is uprooted. The Mayan that gave him water isn't there. Shall he say, thank you, O Lord? Or as Tosfos says, does that look like he's actually complaining and not being very thankful? So Rebbe, the Tanakhama says, don't be korei. But Rebbe Yehuda says, no, you should be korei. Because even if things have been ripped out, you're made vivikorei because it's the adoma that's the essence. And therefore, what you're bringing is the gift of the earth. Forget about the question of whether you've got an irrigation source. Al perota aretz. If you said on the perot aretz, ha'etz, you're not yotze. Well, obviously, they're not ha'etz. Pshita. Omer Nachman Yitzchak. No, we're going according to Rebbe Yehuda over here. Remember that Rebbe Yehuda says that chita is a type of tree. Really? Yes, because he says that when we discuss what was the Eitz HaDaat. So we have a machlokas over there. Ilan she'achal mimenu adam harishon. What was it? Rabbi Meir says it was a geffen. I mean, because take a look at what alcohol does today. You know, ein lecha davar she'mevi yelala l'adam ela yayin. She'nemar vayesh min hayayin vayishkar. Take a look at the problems that we find throughout history. Even with Noach and Nadav Avihu, and it just brings tzoras. Rabbi Nechemia Omer, no, you could see that it was definitely a fig, because if you needed a fig leaf to cover over, why did you use a fig leaf instead of other leaves? Because the fig was involved in the actual chait, and it says Rabbi Yehuda, however, says that the tree was wheat, and the proof is that any child doesn't learn to speak until they're already at the point that they're able to eat grain. So Saka Daita Chamina, it's beautiful how the Sugyas are able to bring us all the way back to Gan Eden and to the issue of discrimination, of Tov Vara, and so on. So I would have thought that since Rabbi Yehuda held that Chita is a type of a tree, so then maybe even today we should be Mavarech HaBorei Priya Eitz. Kamash Malan, that what is the nature of the Brocha HaBorei Priya Eitz? Hech Mavarechina HaBorei Priya Eitz, Hech HaDikishakata LeLepere Ite LeGavza V'Hadar Mafik. Only those kind of things that when you take off the fruit, a branch of the tree remains and new fruit will come out from it next year, perhaps. If there's no branch left that will come out with new peyrot, now there are some who learn that this is a reference to not an actual branch, but to any perennials. In which case, things like strawberries, which is a perennial but doesn't have a branch, would also be a Borei Priya Eitz. We do not paskin like that. And in fact, the pashtus of the sugya, the whole point of the sugya, is that a chita isn't a tree because there is no eitz. That's the point. It's the Eitz HaDaat. And this is the definition of that branch that survives. Then the Mishnah says, on anything that you said, shakonia bidvaro, you'd be otzit, maravuno amar, that doesn't include bread or wine, because those things are special in that they require brachas on their own. Let's say you've had a chasana or for kiddush or avdol or whatever. If you don't have wine, you use bread. Rabbi Yochanan Amar, no, even wine and bread are part of shakol niyeh bidvaro. Name it ketanoi. Here there seems to be a machlokas tanoi. A guy sees a beautiful piece of bread and he says, whoa, what a gorgeous piece of bread. Baruch hamokom shebara. That's enough of a bracha. He'd be yotze. If he sees a beautiful fig and he says, wow, what a gorgeous fig. Baruch Hashem, who created that fig, is yotze. So says Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Yossi says, no. You, a bracha is not just some loose kind of words. If you change the way that the Chachomim said to say the bracha, you're not going to be yotze yedei chovato. So it would appear that Rav Huna is going like Rabbi Yossi, and Rabbi Yochanan is going like Rabbi Meir, who says that you could say something loose. So Memel, if you say shakol niyeh bidvaro, it would also be good. Says the Gemara, not necessary. There's no connection over here, because it says the Gemara, Rav Huna could always say to you, what are you talking about? Of course I agree with Rabbi Meir. And Rabbi Meir said over there that you're yotze because you said, oh, what a beautiful fig. Or you said, oh, what a beautiful challah. So that's fine. But over here you didn't even mention the fact that it's challah. You just said everything comes from God. Everything comes from God. That's not good enough. So maybe over there, if you're Rabbi Meir, would agree with me. That doesn't help. And Rabbi Yochanan could say the same thing. I could agree with Rabbi Yossi. But he made up this thing. You can't just make up something. But where he says a real bracha, I mean, it's just called me a bit varo. When you just make up something, that's not mishanami matbeya. You're using a matbeya shetovu chachamim. So maybe over there, takinu rabbanan. Maybe a filo Rabbi Yossi would be made in that case. So either of us could go according to either of those tanoim. Binyamin, the shepherd, he would eat a piece of bread. And then he would say, ah, brich morei dai pita, the master of this bread should be mavurach. Omarav, that's good enough. How could that be good enough? Omarav ko brocha shema askar zashem. Eina bracha. If you didn't say the shema Hashem, he didn't say the shema Hashem. All he said was the master. I don't know who the master is. No, no, we didn't say that. What he actually said was, brich rachmana morei dai pita. And the word rachmana, which means harachum, is a reference to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So it's a keynote for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That is enough. What do you mean, but it's enough? You need three brachas on bread. This is only that first bracha. Alon, please mute yourself. That's only the first bracha. And how could you be Yotzi Birchas HaMazon? What happened to Noda? What happened to the mention of Torah? What happened to Bris? What happened to Eretz Yisrael? You can't be Yotzi. No, when we say we're Yotzi, my Yotzi Gomer Rav Nami, he meant you're Yotzi the first bracha. So then, what's the Kiddush precisely? Is that he said it in English? I mean, of course, it was Aramaic, but I mean, it wasn't in Hebrew. That's not, I don't need Rav to tell me that. That's a Beferish Mishnah and Sarita. It says, Ve'elu ne'amorim b'chol lashon, Pashat Sota, Vinui Maisa, Kriyat Shema Tefila, and Birkat HaMazon. Yes, I understand. But on that, if I only knew that Mishnah, I would have thought, if I have a precise translation of what the Chachamim said to say in Lashon HaKadosh, then I'm Yotze, but I can't get a basic idea in another language. That's nothing. So I would have said, you're not going to be Yotze at all, even if the ideas conceptually might be the same. It's a tremendous Kiddush, that even though this is like a condensed version of the Bracha, and it's in a different language, it's in Aramaic, it's also kosher. Okay, now what Rav had said, we said, was that Kobrach Shem Hashem, the Shem in a Brocha. You've got to mention the Shem Hashem. Rabbi Yochanan said, forget about mentioning Shem Hashem, that's not going to be enough. If you don't say Melech HaOlam, you're also not Yotze. Shein Ba Malchut, also in a Brocha. Omer Abaye, it's more reasonable to say like Rav. Why? Because if you take a look in the Brisa that describes the meaning of the Parsha of Yidui Meiser, what it says over there is, Lo Avarti Mi Mitzvotecha Velo Shachachti. In the Brisa, the Darshan is like this. Lo Avarti, meaning I didn't be over on not saying a bracha when I took off Trumas and Maestras, and Lo Shechachtim Las Kirshim Chalav, and I didn't say a bracha without mentioning your name, Hashem. How come it doesn't say, and I wasn't over in forgetting to mention your Malchus? So apparently the Malchus is not what's important. It's the shame that's important. So what would Rabbi Yochanan do with that? Rabbi Yochanan says, okay, change the gears a little bit, you know. What it should have said is, Lo Shechachtim Las Kirshim Cha Umalchut Chalav. Richie, you're ready? You're on. Go. Richie. How about things that don't go from the ground? That we didn't discuss yet. That is the most general bracha of all. So see, you got something like things that are not exactly the best of things either. You got chometz, okay? It used to be good, but now it's no longer wine. Now it's vinegar. Or al novlot. We're going to see what novlot are. Govai are locusts. And on all of those things, you say shakol ni'abidvaro. Rabbi Yehuda says, no, you don't say anything at all, because koshu min klala, probably the right gear says min klala, Sebastian from Rashi, without a yud. Anything that comes from a curse, you don't say a bracha. Where'd you get these locusts from? It was not a happy occasion, let me tell you, friends. So these things, the wine turns into vinegar, the novlos, we'll see whether the food is wrecked. The fruit is wrecked, you don't say a bracha at all. Suppose you have a lot of different things, okay? So you're in front of minim harbe. So what comes first? Rabbi Yehuda Omer, im yesh b'nei min shiva. So if you've got any of the shivas haminim, of the eretz chita, zorah, and so on and so forth, so then that comes first. Alavu mevorech. We're going to see more details of that in the sugya as we go along later. V'chachamim omrim, no, you make a bracha on what you enjoy. That's the first thing. If after that you enjoy them all the same, then you would go according to Minshi. But Tana Rabbana. Al davar she'ein gidulim in ha'aretz, things that don't grow directly from the ground. So let's say you've got meat, bisar behemot, or chayot, or chicken, or fish. You say shakol nia bidvaro. On milk, on eggies, on cheese. You say shakol nia bidvaro. Even on bread, if the bread became moldy, or wine, even on wine, if the wine spoiled and it's got that oily top to it. Or on a tafshil, shavar tzurato, it's been spoiled, it stayed out overnight. Those are things, even though they're edible, you say shahakol on. And on salt, and on brine, ala zamit, al kabein pitriot, and even on mushrooms and on truffles, you also say shahakol. What? Mushrooms don't grow from the ground? Lamemer de kabein pitriot are not called gidule karka? Doesn't it say in a brite that if somebody takes a netter, that he's not going to be nene from the peirot of the oretz? He is usher in the perota aretz only, but he's allowed to eat mushrooms. But if he says anything that grows from the ground is usher, then he would be usher even on mushrooms. So apparently mushrooms do grow from the ground. So then why don't we say bari pri adama? Omer Abaye, they do grow from the ground, but they don't take nourishment directly from the ground. They survive on the moisture that's on top of the ground or on top of the tree or that, and they do not suck it up by putting roots into the ground, and that's not called borei pri adama. Yeah, but the brayta said al davar she'ein gidulo min ha'aretz. You see that they're not even called dvarim that are gidulo min ha'aretz. Okay, so change that first brayta. Al davar she'ein yonek min ha'aretz. That's obviously the point. There's a gidulo. There is gidul, but it isn't drawing out of the ground. Now novelot. What exactly are these novelot? Rabbi Zera, Rabbi Lo argue, one says it means bushle kamra. It means things that have gotten burned by the heat of the day. So they're basically wrecked because they've been overheated in the sun. V'chan omer tamre de zika, they're dates that were blown off the tree. So it's not. Rabbi Yehuda omer, didn't it say in the Mishnah, according to Rabbi Yehuda, anything that comes from a klola, you don't say a brocha? So if you understand novelot as meaning things that have been wrecked by being overheated, that's called being klola. I understand, but if it just means something that got blown off the tree, what do I understand? What's the klala? No, so maybe according to him, Rabbi Yehuda wasn't referring to that. He was referring to the other things. He was referring to the vinegar. He was referring to the govai. Others learned that the question was like this. Makes sense to say shahakol and not bori priya eitz. But if all we're talking about is dates that were blown off the tree, why the heck would we say a shahakol? Nothing changed. We should say the regular bracha, borei pri ha'etz mo'ilei levruche. So therefore can't be that novlot are blown off the tree. Novlot stomachly are matpega bushle kamara nino. Obviously the novlot, as it's used normally here in the Mishnah and anywhere else, is talking about things that were ruined by overheating in the sun. The machlokes between Rabbi Zeh and Rabbi Lo about novlot is about another word. That's novlot mara, which we find in another Mishnah in Demai over there. It says, Akalim Shedemai, were things that the Chachomim allowed you to buy even though you're not sure that the Amorites took off Trubas or Miseres, because they are such junky things that the guy doesn't even feel that he's got a problem taking off 10%. What's the big deal? This stuff is garbage. And so because of that, he's going to be makbid anyway. So those are called the Kalim Shebidmai, and they include Shitim, we're going to go over each one of these things in a moment. Shitim, Rimino, Zardin, Benot Choach, Benot Shikma, Gufni, Nitzpa, and Novlot Mara. And that was the question, what are Novlot Mara in that context? What are Shitim? Omer Abba Barbachana, Omer Abba Yochanan, Shitim are a type of figs that are very low quality. Rimin are a reference to candy, which doesn't really mean candy, but it means some type of a date type of thing. Which is also low class. Ozardin is a reference to tolshe, which are those sour apples. What do they call them? Worse than crab apples. They're smaller even than crab apples. Benot shuach, Amar Rabba Bar Bar Chana, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, those are the white figs that are without any real taste. And benot shikma, the Amar Rabba Bar Bar Chana, Rabbi Yochanan, that refers to dubli, so they grow on the shikma, on a sycamore. They're not very tasty as fruit. Gufnin are the seasoned, post-season grapes. So shili gufni, they never really get filled out. Nitzpe, we had before, that's the reference to Kaper, and that's Pircha. And Novlo Tamara, there we get to our Machlokas. Rabbi Loiv, Rabbi Zera, Chad Omer Bushle Kamara, V'chad Omer Tarmid Azika. And here we said, if you learn that it's Bushle Kamara, that's why they're called Kalim Shedemai, which means that only where it's a Demai, it's a Suffolk, you don't have to worry about it. But if you knew for a fact that it wasn't Meiser, you'd have to take off Meiser. But if you learn that it's talking about Tamre de Zika, Vadon, Chayev, if it got blown off of the tree, why would you be Chayev? It's Hefker. And Hefker isn't Chayev in Meiser, so how do you explain that it was included in Kalin Shebidmai? It's not Chayev. Akaba Mayaskinan, Shasa Angorin. We're talking about over here that you picked up a bunch of them and you put them in a pile. And once you put them in a pile, the Rabbanim Regei said that it's considered to be Chayev, even though it came from Hefker. We see that that's true from the following. Where you have things that are potter from Trumas and Maisers, like Leka, Chikha, Peah, and then Oni collects these things, and then the Oni puts them into a big pile, so it looks like they grew on his field, and it was Asa'an Goren, that is Mechayev, them Minarabonin and Maiser, and that's why we're saying over there, they're only Kalin Bidmai, but if they were Vadai, you would definitely have to take off Trumas and Maisers, but that would only be Minarabonin. Others learned that the Kasha that we were asking on that Mandi Omer is Bishlam and the Mandi Omer Tamri de Zika, Hainadok, Karlatov, Lestoma. So that would explain why we change the meaning. So in our Mishnah, where everybody is talking about the ones that were heated, that's why we call them Novlot. Whereas over there, we call them a specific type of Novlot. So they're called Tamara because it means something else. It means that we're blown off the tree. But according to Mandi Omer, that it means over here also. Bushle Kamara, how come it says over here Novlot and over there it says Novlot Tamara? Make up your mind. Either call them both Novlot Tamara or call them both Novlot. All right, fine. Gosh, that's a problem. It's not fatal because of the context, but okay. Great.